Did you know that parents rank financial literacy as the number one most difficult life skill to teach? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app for families. With Greenlight, you send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and keep an eye on your kids' spending. With real-time notifications, kids learn to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest. And parents can rest easy knowing their kids are learning about money with guardrails in place. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Welcome back into the Lions 24/7 podcast. I am Tyler Donahue. Daniel Gallen, back from vacation, back with us here on the podcast in just a moment as we break down the latest batch of Penn State newcomers. Nittany Lions football roster expanded in a significant way. Here in May, as the new summer, the first summer semester started, I should say. There'll be another summer semester later on. We'll see a few more freshmen join the party. We'll talk about them a little bit later as well. But several freshmen are now on campus, underway with classes, underway with their acclimation process as Power 5 football players. And then a few transfer players, three of them on scholarship. We've got a walk-on addition to talk about as well, who has some Power 5 experience. We'll do all that right now with Daniel Gallen. A little bit later in the show, we've got Tyler Calvaruso, our recruiting insider at Lions247.com, hopping back on a bunch to cover in the recruiting sector. Penn State still searching for its first commitment at the position. Could see as many as two commitments at that position during the 2024 cycle. But a lot happening right now. There are some commitments now set on the upcoming calendar. May or may not impact the Nittany Lions. We'll talk about the dominoes that are beginning to fall across the country. What it means for Penn State with Tyler Calvaruso a little bit later, along with the latest on official visits and a couple transfers, one on the basketball side of things and one on the football side of things, checking out campus during recent days here as the Nittany Lions in both of those sports continue to look at potential talent additions here in 2023. Let's bring in Daniel Gallen, who, as we said, deserve a break from the action and break from the Penn State beat. He's back on board with us. Hopefully you're recharged a bit. And while you were away, the Penn State roster group.
Yeah, it seems like that, you know, some of these moves that we'd been talking about for so long, you know, finally came to a little bit of fruition. And now, you know, we can really, really actually talk about what these guys are going to be. We can really, you know, project some of these 2023 roles, and, you know, everything points to seeing them on the field once we get to August.
Yeah, some stand out more than others in terms of immediate potential. A few of these freshmen we don't expect to see involved much beyond the practice field. But let's begin this conversation, Daniel, in the transfer portal. This is an area where, you know, just looking back last year and what they got out of it, they got through spring ball and then Johnson came to campus from Maryland. Obviously, he played a huge role, essentially was the third starter at defensive end. Hunter Norzad got to campus after spring practice. He ends up starting eight games for you at left guard. Now he's slotted as a starter for you in year two. And so we look and we say these guys could legitimately come in, be starters for Penn State, be big-time players for a Big Ten title contender. And you've got to begin with Dante Cephas, who comes off a strong career at State. Didn't have the Power 5 look coming out of high school in the state of Pennsylvania. As we've addressed a lot, emerged as an all-conference performer in the MAC, 2,000 yards plus overall the last couple seasons. A guy was a machine in an offense that loved to spread the football around through the air, and now he enters a passing attack that is down its top three leading receivers from 2022 in Brenton Strange, Mitch Tinsley, and Parker Washington. We heard James Franklin shouting to the hills, shouting all beyond Mount Nittany, that he needed a wide receiver to step or he needed a wide receiver to step in. He knew he had this guy coming in, and now it's Dante Cephas' opportunity to come in and turn a pencil into pen as him being a primary playmaker within this offense.
The stage is really set for Cephas to come in and make an impact, given, you know, what James Franklin has said, what kind of James Franklin has put out there in what he wants, you know, from that wide receiver, what he's looking for, you know, from that position group. You know, Cephas was really, really quiet after his commitment. It was almost easy to forget at times that he was going to be arriving on campus. Part of that was due to Malik McLean arriving, you know, another transfer that we had to talk about, another new name and face to learn. Some of that just had to do with the nature of Cephas, I think, just being a quieter recruit. So it's going to be really interesting to see what he can do. You know, James Franklin made it very clear that, you know, it sounds like maybe they have 2.5 to 3 wide receivers he feels confident in, depending on how much weight you put into Amari Evans's blue-white game performance and some of the other chatter that we heard about him. But Cephas coming in, it's a young room, as we've established. There is a lot of potential there. There's a lot of work for Marcus Hagans to do in terms of development, but bringing in someone like Cephas who has this experience, you know, already in his back pocket, you would think it'll be a quicker adjustment. And I'm very curious to see what he looks like and how he changes this pecking order.
Cephas last season at Kent State listed approximately 6'1", 180 pounds, 130 catches the last couple seasons combined, 1,984 yards, 12 touchdowns during 23 total games along the way, twice earning first team All-MAC distinction. This guy who was at Penn Hills High School in the Pittsburgh area. And didn't, as I said, wasn't getting a lot of Power 5 love. He was here on campus for a visit at least once or twice, I believe. I know he was at Beaver Stadium with a cluster of recruits back during his high school career, but he was never the recruit that this staff was focused in on. He never got that scholarship offer. And then, lo and behold, he sticks his head in the transfer portal last winter, and he's got some of the who's who of Power 5 football, college football playoff participants, college football playoff contenders, you know, blowing up his phone, blowing up the phones of people around him. Penn State gets a huge addition here. It's one that kind of has been playing that and waiting for a while. And there's a lot to live up to with this one. I think what Amari Evans was able to do at the end of spring ball maybe alleviates a little bit of that pressure that we kind of thrust on Dante Cephas to come in and kind of assert himself first teamer. But make no doubt about it, when James Franklin's looking for a group of six at receiver and kind of hammering home that point, Dante Cephas better be one of those six based on the track record, based on you know, kind of the adulation, the excitement that has come with this pickup. Better be toward the top of that six based on what he's done. But this is a big jump for him. And as I mentioned in the podcast a few times, it's not like he's got to break in to Power 5 football competition come September. He's got a great opportunity to do it away from practice facilities and event on practice field come August by working against one of the premier groups of defensive backs that you'll find all across America.
I think that that's a really good way to look at it in terms of the work that he's going to get against someone like Johnny Dixon, someone like Kalen King. You know, when you talk about, you know, there's always the adjustment, you know, from, you know, a mid-major up to power, from group of five to Power 5. And I think that the fact that Penn State has such a complete team, that defense is going to be really tough for anyone on the offensive side of the ball to go against. And, you know, so Cephas is going to have a very, you know, I guess, I wouldn't necessarily call it the learning curve adjustment, maybe the competition curve, in terms of coming in, you know, seeing these types of corners, these types of athletes. And you know, I think that the staff is going to get the chance to learn a lot about him pretty quickly when he gets here. But you know, you look at his track record and given what is in the room, you know, if he's not in that top six, you know, maybe if he's not even in that top three or four, it could raise some eyebrows a little bit. But I think that his track record, what he was able to accomplish at Kent State, you know, and bringing that here, I think it'll be interesting to see what he can do. It's, you know, so it's a similar situation to Mitchell Tinsley, where, you know, in their past, they have these video game numbers that, you know, that they will not most likely be able to replicate given what Penn State has on its roster and how Mike Yurcich runs this offense. But that type of production can still translate to being a really, really solid, productive player like we saw Mitchell Tinsley be last year.
James Fliss said it after spring camp. We saw it from Mike Yurcich in the way he coordinated this offense late in the season last year. They don't feel like they've got a third wide receiver is better than their second end option. Then they're going to go with a couple tight end options. And we know that's a really talented room. A lot of unknown commodities at wide receiver right now. You feel like you add a known commodity, albeit at the group of five level in Dante Cephas. You feel like you add one of those as well at running back. And it's a great week. Big smile on the face of Jaywan Sider. Walking on eggshell, got two scholarship running backs. Essentially been playing that game for the last 7 months within those team facilities. That changed in a big way this week. We'll get to the freshman additions in a moment. You heard from one of them, London Montgomery, on the podcast very recently. But Trey Potts now steps in. He graduated from Minnesota to begin this month, and now he makes this Big Ten relocation. It's a homecoming of sorts. He's from Williamsport Area High School, was a standout player there. That Penn State offer never materialized for him, kind of marred by injury issues as an upperclassman there. So he didn't get a chance to prove his case and build things up late in his high school career. But ultimately, that path leads back to Penn State, and it's going to lead to a backfield that is among the country's best. 24/7 Sports just ranked it second. I think you can make the case for number one if you want to work really hard at it. But I think Michigan was number one there. But either way, Trey Potts, not coming here to grab the baton as a bell cow kind of running back. He knows what life is behind talented players. Mo Ibrahim was one of the Big Ten's best at the position, one of the country's best at the position the last couple of seasons. He watched him play a lot of football while getting that second act as the backup running back. But we have seen Jaywan Sider utilize three running backs with consistency. If you look over to the first 5 weeks last year, he's still filling out Singleton, still filling out Allen. Those guys were going to establish themselves. But I think in a perfect world, there's three running backs here involved on a game-by-game basis. And Trey Potts now steps up to that third role guy that says he can be more of a pass catcher than what was on display at Minnesota. He's proven himself to be a real legitimate blocker in the backfield. And he's someone who's going to understand the nuances of Big Ten football and what it takes to succeed come Saturdays. He's been involved in conference championship punts. He's faced adversity in the form of injuries and just team underwhelming at times with the Golden Gophers. So there's a lot to like about the package you got here, the scholarship that you've invested in Trey Potts, one of those transfers along with Cephas and a couple guys we'll get to.
Yeah, I think that, you know, talking about investing a scholarship in Trey Potts is a really good way to look at it. And I think that it's an investment that you kind of know you're going to get some sort of return on. You know, that Trey Potts has that track record of production, and, you know, Penn State has shown in the past that, you know, they want to invest in depth, that they want to have depth at, you know, every position they can, because you never know what's going to happen. I think that even Trey Potts' career at Minnesota and what that backfield dealt with in a couple of those seasons shows the really fickle nature of health at that position and what can happen. And I think we've talked about it before, where Penn State, you know, was really fortunate last year that they were able to ride two freshman running backs through pretty much the last like two thirds of the season, you know, to get to a Rose Bowl, to have that production. It's going to be hard to replicate that again. But having Trey Potts there, you know, investing in that number three running back spot, not forcing London Montgomery or Cam Wallace into a situation that they might not be ready for yet, you know, both physically and mentally in terms of where they are in the playbook and stuff. You know, I think that that is really, really big. And I think that Trey Potts, you know, even if he finishes the year with, you know, maybe 350, 400 yards rushing, I think that that's, you know, he came in, he filled a role, and he did something really positive for this roster.
I think that I can think even those numbers could be pretty hard to find in this running back room if things go according to plan. But to your point, he's a guy that understands what he's walking into. He has no expectations to be a 500 plus, you know, rusher right now. If Katron, I mean, he's going to compete for it. I don't want to say that he has no intentions to try to be that kind of guy, but he understands what the situation is. I think him and Jaywan Sider were extremely transparent with each other leading up to this commitment and ultimately now this enrollment. And another pickup here that we talk about, a bit of a wait for Potts. This was back in early April. He committed much longer of a wait when it comes to Dante Cephas, who committed in January. Things happen fast for Alonzo Ford out of Old Dominion. He's a guy who put his name into the transfer portal after spring practices. He started all 25 games the past couple of seasons for the Monarchs and for former Penn State assistant Ricky Ronnie. And within a week, he's committed to the Nittany Lions. And approximately a week after that, he is now in Nittany Lion. He is among those enrolled and ready to roll and get underway. And maybe fight for starters kind of reps as this thing passes. And again, he has been acclimated. He has been used to being a first teamer defensive lineman at the FBS level, playing for Old Dominion. Came in to that campus in 2020, had some opportunities at the Power Five level. Nothing high caliber like a Penn State, but ends up going with Ricky Ronnie. Doesn't get a chance to play his freshman year. No one plays for Old Dominion. They sat out of that season during the pandemic. 2021 comes along. He's a starter all the way as a freshman. And then the following year, just this past fall, he's once again a starter, an all-conference honorable mention. And look, you can go down the list here, five, six names of able-bodied defensive tackles who've been in Big Ten trenches for the Nittany Lions. But this is a guy who has accrued a significant amount of snaps, has shown to be accountable in those, and took a step up from year one to year two playing at the college level, and clearly was deemed to be capable of taking a step up in competition based on the Penn State swiftness and getting this one done.
Alonzo Ford is at a really interesting spot in terms of his career as a transfer, where, you know, we've talked about, you know, bringing in these guys who are in their final years of eligibility, who are coming in to, you know, fill a hole, make an instant impact, and then move on. And then you've got the other side of the coin where, you know, someone like Johnny Dixon, who came in with extra eligibility remaining, you were planning on seeing a little bit more development out of him as he went on in his career. And we've seen that. And Ford is someone who comes in kind of both camps, because he has significant eligibility remaining, but he's also coming in with significant experience. You know, he's played a lot, he's seen a lot, and he could potentially step in. The competition curve will be worth watching with him as well. Also, what the competition is going to look like in that defensive tackle room. You know, you said it. I mean, there are a lot of names there that have experience. You're replacing someone who ate up a lot of reps in PJ Mustipher, and Alonzo Ford is someone who, you know, I'm curious to see how he factors into that equation, what it's like after he has a full summer in the strength and conditioning program, you know, what that yields by the time we get to August. And I think that's something that could also go along to determining, you know, where he slots in and how much he's able to do this fall in his first year.
He seemed to make some good progress in that strength and conditioning department through the earlier phases of his college career. Listed 6'3", approximately 275 pounds on the 2022 Old Dominion roster. And just looking at this, the tackle group quickly that is now under the supervision of Deion Barnes. PJ Mustipher out of the equation, Denver Broncos rookie, but you've got Akeem Beeman, Devon Illies, redshirt seniors. You got a redshirt junior in Keziah Izzard, who really came on strong down the stretch last year following his absence from game action in September. Jordan Vandenberg is a redshirt junior, got a lot of opportunities in the Big Ten last year, and he some head spring. And then sophomore Zane Durant could be that kind of breakout candidate. I mean, he really is the breakout candidate when you work your way down that list. And then you throw in a couple, you know, guys who are in that developmental stage of their career still. Davon Townley in year three, but it's year one for him and at defensive tackle, bounced around in the transfer portal a bit. And then Caleb Artis, second year redshirt friend who has joined the crew. We'll talk about another addition to this defensive tackle room in just a bit as we work our way through the true freshmen who've enrolled. But Daniel, there was one more transfer pickup to get to here that got to campus in mid-May, and he's one that's not on scholarship, but certainly noteworthy. He comes from a Power Five background. Addison Penn spent the last 3 years at Duke, out of Texas, Southlake Carroll, which is a powerhouse high school program in the state of Texas. He was initially committed coming out of high school to Boston College. Phil Troutwine was the offensive line coach at that time. We're talking about 2019, before Steve Adazio gets fired up there at Boston College, before we see Phil Troutwine end up on Penn staff that doing in January. Once Adazio gets fired, Penn decides to look around. He lands at Duke. Didn't come together for him on the football field with the Blue Devils. Ended up appearing in 8 total games. Did not play as a true freshman. And then the last couple of seasons, 3 games in 2022, 5 games in 2021. He's a reserve center for Duke last year. Our site within the 24/7 Sports Network at midseason on their depth chart had him as the number 3 center for Duke. He entered the transfer portal in January. He was here a bit during spring practice to see the team in action, to get a feel for the program, and he makes his way as a student athlete to Penn State here. And look, Daniel, 3 years of eligibility, guy who had a Power 5 pedigree coming from a really well-established high school program in Texas, has the history with Phil Troutwine. Troutwine clearly thought enough of him to circle back here and make this happen, and he's going to add some depth. He's going to be an interior piece inside, but I like this one. It's kind of one of those stealthy pickups here as we talk about some of the flashier names and top 24/7 prospects and guys who've done it at this level. It feels like a nice fortification. And when you think you're a championship caliber contender roster, it's really all about, you know, fortifying than it is about adding things on the top of that depth chart.
Exactly. And we're just 1 year removed from seeing how important depth is on an offensive line. You know, granted, well, I guess it was both on the interior and that and the tackle with all the guys that we saw moving around. But, you know, we saw last year that there are times when an offensive line can have a lot of moving parts, and, you know, they were still, Penn State was able to still have those guys function as a unit, even if they were in different spots, even if there were new guys in there. That speaks to what Phil Troutwine has been able to do as a coach. And I think that bringing in someone who has been in a college program for a couple of years, you know, is familiar with the coach, is familiar with the rigors of a program, you know, what it's like being an athlete, a student, you know, being on a campus, having to juggle these things. You know, even if he is the number 3 center, you know, here behind Norzad and Dawkins, I might be forgetting someone else who would be in the mix there. But you know, you need all of those.
Dominic Rulli, Ian Harvey have, you know, walked on to who've already kind of, we've seen there in the spring. Venga Ioane has mentioned handling snaps, but guard is the focus for him. So, I mean, yeah, you mm-hmm. add him to, you know, you never know when you might need a number 3 center. And if that's all he is for this year, it's a pretty good spot. It's a pretty good place to land, in a guy like this.
Yeah. And, you know, even if his biggest contribution to being at Penn State, you know, this year beyond is just scout team, you know, I think that there's something to be said for, you know, those defensive linemen, you know, at Penn State, you know, in practice going against someone who has this baseline of experience, you know, who is maybe a little bit bigger, more, you know, fully formed as a player than, you know, I think last year, most of that walk-on class was freshmen, guys that were, you know, just getting into college, just making, you know, this adjustment. We saw some of those guys play in games, like you mentioned, Ian Harvey, Jim Fitzgerald were 2 walk-ons who played near the end of last season. But, you know, having someone who, you know, might be a little bit bigger, might be a little bit more developed, I think that that's somewhere else on the margins where this kind of pickup can pay off for a program.
Penn, by the way, aside from a formidable frame, I think last year, let's see here, listed at 305, 6'3", brings a lot of brains. This is a guy, the Duke background reflects that a bit, but in high school, offers on the table. Well, they're not quite offers, whatever you want to call the Ivy League, whatever they do, it's not quite an offer, but he options the table in the Ivy League, Princeton, Harvard, Penn, some serious schools there involved with a guy who ends up playing Power 5 football for the last few years and now makes his way to Penn State kind of in a prove it mode at 21 years old at this stage of his college career. Let's get to some of the freshmen. Hopefully you've been following along with our podcast here lately. 3 consecutive shows leading up to this one, we had one of these incoming Nittany Lions freshmen on with us. Kavion Keys at linebacker, London Montgomery at running back, and Dakari Nelson at safety. And so clearly, there's a lot of excitement brewing. It's another group that features top 24/7 talent. You've got Dakari Nelson, King Mack, Andrew Rapalier, all considered top 10 prospects overall at their respective positions. And I'm not sure where you want to start, but I'm going to go with a bit of an underrated guy in this mix, and that's what James Franklin talked about. Tyreek Bland, defensive tackle. It's an area that we've said, look, there's a lot of names, but if I don't know if you noticed about those names, 4-year guys, 5th-year guys. Even Davon Townley, who we've referred to as the developmental prospect, he is in year three on this campus. So it's time to start generating some homegrown talent and younger portions of your roster, defensive tackle. I think they like where things are trending with Caleb Artis. Now Tyreek Blandin comes to campus, a guy that, you know, I know a lot of people said undersized, you know, 260, 265 pounds last year when he signed with this program. He told me he's now at 270 pounds, pushing his way towards 6'3". And also 285 is where he says he feels like he's going to be comfortable playing. He carries at 270, like he's at 250, based on the feedback we're hearing with Tyreek Blandin. What I loved about this kid, though, Daniel, was during our phone call last Friday, you know, getting ready to enrollment, he had just graduated from Christ the King on Thursday, and he lives in New York City. So he's traveling through the Bronx back and forth to school every day. I'm hearing the sounds of the city on the subway for some of it. Sirens are wailing for some of it. There's people just like shouting just into the phone call while we're having a conversation. And so I'm like, are you ready for this? Are you excited to move that valley? And the one thing he said was he's expecting to be able to sleep some peace and quiet and some good sleep, because he hears a lot of noises throughout the night living in New York City, born and raised there, has always taken the train and the bus to school. And he's one of those guys who's like, this is going to be like a major change of pace. And I think it's going to be good to be focused on football and just getting a chance to kind of, grow away from it all. And it was one of those things that reminded me that these guys come from all different walks of life. And some people are going from a country location to a country location here. And then you've got a guy like this, and it's not the first to do it. Adiza Isaac, of course, from New York, but is a bit of a culture shock that he's going to be in for now that he's underway with. But Tyreek Blandin is where I want to start, because it's a blend of a cool personal story that leads here to Penn State, but a guy that maybe we're all sleeping on. James Franklin says, go watch the film. This is a guy that deserves more attention. And you like a lot about his disruptive nature at the high school level. And if he's going to really be 280 plus and comfortable there and compete there within the next year, someone to certainly keep on your radar, defensive tackle.
Exactly. I think that with the trenches, who knows if it's 2023, you know, where we see him on the field, you know, being able to make an impact. But I think that you look at this in the interior of this defensive line, it's a really veteran group. It's guys that have been playing since they were, you know, redshirt freshmen, redshirt sophomores, guys like Elise and Izzard. It's, you know, guys that we kind of know. And that are, you know, really tasked with stepping up, you know, into some big shoes to fill with PJ Mustafa leaving. But at some point, all those guys are going to move on, and it's going to be about, you know, what's next. I think that, you know, even beyond this year, defensive tackle is a position that you really have to watch, that because there's, you know, these guys are hard to find with the mix of size, athleticism, and production. So, you know, I think getting someone like Tyreek Blandin, who, you know, isn't maybe the, you know, mammoth presence, you know, 6'4", 315, 320, you know, he'll never be that. But I think that, you know, we've seen these past couple of years that Penn State has had some success with guys like Zane Durant, you know, and you look at even Izzard and Ellie's at various points, and, you know, the things that we hear about Jordan Vandenberg, at his size and weight, but with his strength. I think that the defensive tackle room is shaping up to be a really interesting mix, of body types, some interesting athleticism in there, and the ability to be disruptive, on the interior. You know, we talk a lot about, you know, rushing off the edge and making things happen, you know, crashing down. But, you know, if you have someone in the middle who can be disruptive, get into the backfield, I think that really, really does a lot for a defensive line.
And as we work our way through this list, I know that you were away, but we had Kavion Keys, Dakari Nelson, London Montgomery on it, and the show. And we were able to get a few things out of that. And part of that is the physical progression for each of the guys. And Kavion Keys was one that stood out to me. 195 pounds on signing day. Now at 212 pounds, he's going to be concentrating at will linebacker based on our conversation. And so much excitement about Tony Rojas. I think Tamir Robinson, considering his absence from football late in high school because of injuries, maybe ahead of where some of us thought he would be in his first semester here, working at the Mike linebacker position. But Manny Diaz told us back in January, late December, he felt like they signed three elite linebackers. Let's not forget about Kavion Keys, who was a splashy pickup was never quite sure he was actually going to get here and end up in this class, even as this early signing period was approaching, but it got done. And I'm just saying, keep an eye. We'll monitor his development, but if that physical progression continues, and I think that it will under the supervision of a phenomenal Penn State training staff and nutrition staff, he could get a lot bigger in a hurry, and you might be looking to this linebacker room to make even more noise from a freshman class.
Yeah, I think that it's very promising to hear that kind of development on the physical front. You know, Tony Rojas was sort of in a similar boat, you know, coming in, you know, listed at, you know, a very lightweight in terms of being a college linebacker, but we saw that he was able to put on that extra weight and by all accounts keep that athleticism that made him a really prized player. So, you know, now that Kavion Keys will get to campus, be working with Chuck Losey, and he's already made these strides in these past few months, I think that that means the arrow is pointed up for him in terms of where he'll be physically in his development. You know, it's a really, really crowded room right now, both with these three freshmen and what was returning, with a lot of guys who played a lot of football last year. So, you know, how much of these freshmen we actually see remains to be seen. I think that, you know, Rojas might have the leg up because he was here for spring. Robinson, it's kind of a wild card because he was here for spring, but he hadn't played that much football at the end of his high school career. And now Keys coming in, someone who's a very well-regarded prospect, but is coming in the summer. But at the same time, Abdul Carter got here last summer. So, you know, these guys can pick it up fast, and that puzzle is going to be very fun, I think, for Manny Diaz to put together and putting these different combinations of players together to kind of find what will work and what this defense needs.
And one other thing that really stood out to me was Dakari Nelson giving us an update. He says he's 6'4", 206 pounds coming to campus, and he's a safety all the way. You know, linebacker's an area that naturally discussed during the course of his recruitment. You watch the way this guy's growing, but then you remember how he actually performs at the defensive back position. You reviewed the film. You remember what he did in the all-star settings, and you understand why Anthony Poindexter, Manny Diaz, James Franklin, Terry Smith are on board with him being a safety. And him and King Mack, very different prospects, but Daniel, a group that can confidently go four deep right now. And we got more to learn about Makai Flowers, who got some nice run in the spring game, more to learn about Tyrese Mills, who's settling back into safety after spending some time injured in that linebacker. But these two players, I'm telling you, you can't ignore them. I don't care what position room they're walking to on any college campus in the country. What King Mack did at St. Thomas Aquinas as an absolute terror in the defensive backfield, on special teams for a superpower in South Florida, and what you saw Dakari Nelson do as just a ball hawk, 15 interception in 2 years span, longest, tallest guy in the field. Why is he lined at safety? What is happening right now? These are exciting prospects, and these are the kind of guys that can give you a luxury playmaker at the back end of your defense, where a lot of college football programs reach for one of those down their roster and they just come up empty.
Yeah. There's one practice this spring where I looked at the safety group that was, you know, already here this spring, you know, Jalen Reed, Keaton Ellis, Zaki Wheatley, KJ Winston, and then Flowers and Mills. And you look at them and you've got a variety in body types, but, you know, the length of those guys stands out. You can tell that there's athleticism, you know, even with someone like Flowers, who is a little bit on the shorter side in that group. And then you think about adding, you know, Dakari Nelson, someone who's 6'4", into that group, you know, someone like King Mack, who we've heard a lot about his speed and his ability on the back end. And, you know, it really, really does make it exciting to see, you know, what this group is going to look like. You know, you have guys like Keaton Ellis, who has a lot of experience. Jalen Reed is really experienced. You know, Zaki Wheatley entered last year with a lot of hype, given what he did in spring ball and in fall camp. You know, KJ Winston, we heard that hype train really starting to move this spring. Makai Flowers, Tyrese Mills had the chance to wait and develop. And then bringing in two more guys that have really high ceilings, and I think once they get onto the field, you know, this summer, this fall, then we're going to start hearing about them. You know, Anthony Poindexter does have a task in terms of, you know, how do we keep these guys happy? How do we utilize them in ways, you know, what can we do to maybe find, get someone onto the field? You know, we saw them use four safeties a lot last year. It's a very, very deep pool to pick from. And I think that it's going to be very exciting to see these eight guys on the field this fall. But I think that Dakari Nelson will have a lot of eyes on him when all of them are together.
Another name to know on defense is Joseph Mapoye, who got to campus this weekend as well. Mapoye was a late riser guy, spending at St. Thomas More at the prep level in Connecticut last year. Like cornerback Zion Tracy, who's a January enrollee, both of those guys coming from St. Thomas More, capitalizing on some later opportunities in their recruitment processes at the Power 5 level. Penn State's been on both. Mapoye last season, 14 sacks on the season. As we've discussed with Tyler Calvaruso, him, Mason Robinson at the defensive end position, in that room with where these guys are, not a lot of expectations for production here in 2023. Mapoye, very much developmental situation at defensive end. Let him work close day in, day out with Deion Barnes, working on his skills as an edge rusher. You kind of see what you got coming out the other side come spring 2024, I think, in that instance. At running back, they signed that tandem in December. They're on campus now here in mid-May. London Montgomery, Cam Wallace. We heard from Montgomery on a recent episode of this podcast, 9 months into his recovery from a torn ACL suffered last August. Not quite sure if he's going to be available at the start of August when this team gets back on in the pads and gets involved with practice action. It's fair to wonder when he'll be full go for full contact reps. There's nothing wrong with him, like there's bothering him. That's kind of for later. Right now, the focus is on building that lower body mass, getting himself physically right after some time away from doing the things he was accustomed to doing as a high-level football prospect. And with Cam Wallace, this is a guy who came to campus after a really impressive career in Georgia. You could have viewed him as a defensive back, as a receiver, as a running back, really, depending on your outlook was as a college football coaching staff. Running back here, Jaywan Slater finds his second guy at the position. Wanted to come away with two running backs in the 2023 class. They're able to do that by pairing him with Montgomery. Later, they tack on Trey Potts when they lose Kevon Lee. And so there it is, Daniel. We've got Tyler Calvaruso waiting around the corner, so I don't want to keep him waiting too much longer. But those three guys, and I got one more to get to, but anything stand out from those three?
Looking at the running backs, I think it goes back to what we talked about with Trey Potts. In terms of Trey Potts coming in means that those guys don't, you know, they don't need to be ready before they, you know, need to be. I think with London Montgomery, obviously, if you're not healthy, you're not going to be able to get onto the field, but this allows him to, you know, maybe have a little bit more of a, you know, be in a lower pressure environment in terms of what else is happening in that room. And I think Cam Wallace is going to be really interesting to see how he comes along physically, you know, what the difference between his announced, height and weight on signing day in December were versus what that roster looks like come, you know, week one for the West Virginia game. What strides is he able to make? Because we've talked about it before, running back is a position where you can rotate guys in. If you can fill a particular niche and you can do something that no one else on the team can do, that can help get you onto the field. And, you know, he has some, I think, very alluring athletic traits. You know, he's able to do some things on the field that really, really catch your eye. So I think that he's someone who, you know, watching him this spring or watching him this fall, it might be, you know, filing things away for 2024, 2025. But I think that he is going to be someone to really be worth watching. And then Mupoye, I think, gets to step into a good situation where that room is talented. There's guys he can learn from. He can learn from Deion Barnes, put those lessons together, develop, and then, you know, be ready when they really need him to be.
Last name to get to here, and I saved him for last for a reason because we started with Dante Cephas and maybe impacting this passing game. There's so much going on that we're not sure what it's all going to look like. We know some of the components here with new starting quarterback that everyone's excited about and these emerging pieces in different spots. There's a lot of excitement at tight end too. And just as I said with safety, I don't care what room he's walking to in the country, Andrew Rapley has got a shot to do some things as a freshman. Coming in right around 240 pounds at 6'5", is a guy who was sub 220 pounds last summer. He moves with speed, is a very impressive route runner as well. I'm not going to be anyone. I'm not telling anyone back off, back away from the Pat Freiermuth comparisons. I think they're pretty apt. And we saw what Freiermuth did as a freshman here. Pat Freiermuth did not encounter a tight end room that had Tyler Warren and Theo Johnson established in it. But beyond those two, it's really up for grabs. And I just hope for everyone else's sake that they were able to lay a lot of groundwork spring, because I think Andrew Rapoway is going to start chomping into some of their head starts as the summer progresses and as the season progresses.
I think in August practice, Rapoway and Dakari Nelson are going to be the two guys where, you know, we're not used to seeing that number onto the field. So, you know, we see someone making a play and then you're like, wait, who's number, you know, 80, whatever. And then you go check and it's, oh, of course it's Rapoway. I think that he's someone that is really going to be able to make an impression just because of where he is physically, you know, what his tools are. And I am very excited to see exactly how far up in that pecking order he can rise. You know, last year things were, you know, that it was very, the hierarchy was very well defined in terms of who the top three were, who was number four. And then Jerry Cross was working back from injury. You know, but now I think that Rapoway is someone who can, you know, maybe upset it a little bit, you know, even, you know, how far Joey Schlaffer was able to make an impression this spring. I think that there are reps available depending on, you know, how many tight ends Mike Yurcich wants to use, you know, how many tight ends could be more reliable options in the structure of the offense than wide receivers, which is something that we talked about a little bit earlier in terms of, you know, getting that wide receiver play. But I think that Rapoway is going to turn a lot of heads this spring. I think there's going to be a lot of excitement on him going into the season. And it's just a question of how exactly he fits, what they're able to do to get him onto the field, and then what he's able to do on Saturdays when or if he gets those opportunities.
And I mean, the last couple of years, Tyler Warren has had moments. I mean, he's been out there in key spots. He's come up with some really important plays. That was as the three tight end. That is a role that is pretty important for this offense. And especially when we look at how it's currently constructed in that tight end room, there's seven scholarship guys. You better be able to find three you can consistently play with. Khalil Dinkins has certainly been the guy we've given that edge to, the number three option, but we'll see what Andrew Rapoway can do with some time. Didn't have spring ball to work with, but here he is in mid-May with an opportunity in front of him. Daniel, really appreciate you coming back strong here in the podcast to help us break down all these newcomers to the roster, a bunch of freshmen, some transfers. There's a few more guys coming in June. We'll get to them in a moment with Tyler Calvaruzzo, but thank you for all, and we'll talk to you real soon.
Good to be back, Tyler. I'll talk to you later.
We'll be right back on the Lions 24/7 podcast.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast. Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Let's bring in Tyler Calvaruzzo to the Lions 24/7 podcast right now. And Tyler, we just spent a long time discussing these new Penn State football players, but it's not a complete roster just yet. There's still a transfer market at a specific position as well. We'll talk about that in a moment, but there are still some freshmen to come, four in fact. And I'm curious your thoughts. Jameel Lyons, the defensive lineman out of Philadelphia. Chi Ono, top 24/7 offensive tackle out of Maryland. Carmelo Taylor, a top 24/7, a wide receiver out of Virginia. And then Mason Robinson, a defensive lineman from familiar stomping groups, the McDonough School in Owings Mills, Maryland. What stands out to you about these four, and who do you think, if any, could really come on strong and put themselves in a spot to make an impact come fall?
I mean, just starting with Taylor, we've lauded his speed for so long and just the strides that he has made as a receiver coming from the point where he was more of a track guy playing football to now a really fast track guy who's also developed into a pretty good football player and looks like a guy who will be able to make an impact on the at the next level at some point. It's really a matter of development, you know, getting in the weight room, getting in the playbook, acclimating the Big Ten football. I think it's going to take Taylor, you know, a little bit to get there. But that kind of speed, man, you can't teach it, and he has it. He has plenty of it. So the staff is excited about him. Chim Diono, I mean, he was the late riser in the 2023 class, you know, climbing all the way into the top 24/7 at the end of it. He went from committed to Old Dominion to taking official visits to three Big Ten programs in the span of a couple months and making it to Ole Miss for an official visit as well. So, I mean, his stock rose in a hurry. And really when Penn State got involved, you know, it was kind of a situation where Rutgers did a really good job with Ono. They got him for an official visit before the early signing period. And it looked like that visit went well enough where Ono might just spurn everyone else and sign with Rutgers. That didn't happen. But when Penn State really jumped in and started pushing hard and then locked in that official visit, it kind of led from that point on. It was going to take a lot for Michigan State and Ole Miss to get him off his interest to Penn State. Obviously winds up signing with the Nittany Lions. Another guy who I think is going to need a little bit of time. You know, he's still growing in his frame and then just really as an offensive lineman in general. But there's a lot of upside there. That's what Penn State staff really loves about him. And then with the two defensive linemen, Lyons and Robinson, I really like both of these guys. Lyons is one I've talked about a bunch. I love the motor he plays with, the mean streak that he has on the defensive line. Really love his versatility more than anything else, though. I would say he's a guy who can give Penn State, you know, some reps on the inside, some reps on the edge. I think he has that kind of size and athleticism already. So could he possibly jump into the rotation as a true freshman? I'm not necessarily sure that's going to happen, but when you have a guy coming in who's already built to play in the Big Ten, if you go look at him body wise and, you know, some of the recent workout footage that he's put out, he's already a really good 250. He's only going to keep getting stronger, and his athleticism, I don't think it's going to tail off all that much. So, you know, those are the traits that can help you break a rotation in year one. I'm not necessarily sure it's going to happen with him, but if he keeps trending in the right direction, man, you never know, because Penn State's always looking for productive bodies on the defensive line. And Robinson, I really like what he brings from a technical standpoint. You know, he's not going to – I've said this multiple times with him. He's never going to wow you with his athleticism, right? He's more of a, you know, he uses his football IQ. He's got good hand placement. He's good off the line. So there's a lot to like about him as well. So we only got, man, it's crazy. We're only down to four guys coming to campus now with this group. Almost everyone's there. And this is a pretty exciting class. Penn State's excited about what these guys are bringing to the table. But with those four, plenty of value coming to Happy Valley in June.
Yeah, I forecast four red shirts here. Yeah, I think I'm with you there. If there's one guy that maybe puts himself in a fringe situation and gives us something to scratch their head about, I'd probably lean Lines because of where he is physically right now. But I think with Ono, best thing you can do with him is just build him up physically and spend an entire auto, you know, against a really talented defensive end group. He's going to take his lumps for a long time, but you hope he battles back. Because we had his head coach from Dundalk High School on back in the winter after he signed with Penn State. And he said, look, Penn State is definitely getting a project prospect right here, but this is exactly the kind of project prospect that 4 years down the line, people say he became a first-round offensive tackle draft pick. So it's going to be fun to see how he comes out the other side of 2023. Kind of like I said with Joseph Mapoye, guys that I'm not necessarily super fixated on at this moment on the field this fall, but really more so curious about after they go through it a bit, what does it look like next March, next April, when they've got some of that staying power within the program, when they've got some of that consistency and under belt in terms of what it takes to bulk up and what it takes to become a true Power 5 football player. And Carmelo Taylor is just going to be a fun guy, a fun personality to follow along. If he does live up to that feeling that I put out there, being KJ Hamler-esque, that's going to be a fun career to follow. Hard to see him, you know, really bursting his way through a really young receiver group. It's such a collection of young talent. It's been on campus for a year plus now. Does the speed translate? Maybe give him a chance to lend some skills on special teams. Maybe something to watch there. But four freshmen. These are more so guys to monitor than guys to make the impact moving ahead. Let's look more long-term and into the recruiting world. And right now, a lot of conversation, Tyler Cavaruso, at quarterback. It feels like we can't really go episode to episode here on the podcast without addressing the 2024 upshot passer for Penn State. Where do you want to start? Because we've got a couple of commitments on the calendar now at the quarterback spot coming very soon. There is interest in an on-offered guy out there who's committed elsewhere. I mean, you can kind of choose your own adventure with the quarterback conversation here.
I feel like it's probably best we start with what we know is imminent. That's one of the few things that we do know that is actually going on with quarterback recruiting right now. So Cutter Bowl is going to be coming to a decision later this week on Thursday. I'm not anticipating Penn State's going to be the pick there. I've got a crystal ball in for Kentucky. Really a turning point in this recruitment for Kentucky was the rehiring of Liam Cohen as offensive coordinator after Cohen spent a year working as Sean McVay's offensive coordinator in Los Angeles with the Rams. Cohen was the one who offered Bowley when Bowley was really coming up at Lexington Christian Academy. Those two have a really good relationship. And while Bowley was exploring the Kentucky offense and seeing how he could fit once Cohen circled back and rejoined the staff down there, it was kind of, you know, one of those situations where, hey, this is the guy I'm most comfortable with. This is the scheme I'm most comfortable with. Why prolong things when this is where I really want to be? I think Kentucky's in a pretty good spot to secure a commitment on Thursday. You know, Penn State developed a pretty good relationship with Bowley. Mike Hirsch did a good job, you know, developing a rapport. And I do think that he liked the Penn State offense, but I've heard whispers that, you know, it wasn't even Penn State really giving Kentucky the most serious run leading up to Thursday. It was actually another SEC program, Tennessee. So I think Penn State was kind of, you know, at times running second and third in this recruitment. That's just kind of the way it's gone for them so far this cycle. And then the other guy, 2024, is Mike Van Buren, you know, the Baltimore St. Francis Academy standout. He's going to be announcing on Saturday. He's moved up his timeline from July to late May because he wants to get a head start on recruiting for whatever class he's going to be part of. That's what he told our Brian Doan. He wants to take more of a leadership role in whichever recruiting class he chooses to be part of. I think it's going to be Oregon for him. I think the writing on the wall is definitely on the wall there. It's been that way for a little while. I think Penn State has definitely been pivoting at the position. You see guys like Ethan Gronkmeyer, you know, from Ohio, who we talked about a bunch. He had a really good visit over the weekend. He's going to be making it back to campus this weekend for the Elite 11 Regional. The expectation is he's going to be getting on campus for another visit before that. So, you know, Penn State's definitely trending with him. I'm monitoring Clemson and its involvement with Gronkmeyer, but I think given his desire to wrap things up, and this is what he has voiced, that he would prefer to wrap things up, you know, maybe before official visit season later this month. I think this is one that could definitely go in Penn State's favor sooner rather than later, but we'll see, because I think a Clemson offer would definitely give him something to think about, and it could even possibly alter that timeline. And beyond Grunkmeyer right now, you know, the new name, well, the not so new name, depending on how you look at it, is Ryan Puglisi. You know, Mike Hirsch was out in New England yesterday to watch him throw the Georgia commit. He has maintained that he's not going to really back off his commitment now that Dylan Raiola is committed to the Dogs' number one quarterback in the 2024 class. He's maintained that he has been prepared for them to take a second quarterback in this class, and it looks like he's going to stick. You know, there's obviously going to be some stuff going on behind the scenes. There are going to be plenty of schools hitting him up, you know, trying to pull him off that commitment. I'm not sure if that's going to happen. I think there's definitely a chance he could look at other schools. And you got to keep in mind, he doesn't have an offer from Penn State at this point in time. This is the third time Penn State has watched him throw, and he still doesn't have an offer. And, you know, I've heard from some people kind of familiar with that recruitment that, you know, Penn State not jumping in as early as some of the other schools who did, you know, the Michigan States, the Georgias, the Alabamas, that maybe rubbed some people the wrong way per se. So even if Penn State does come in with a late offer here, I'm not really sure what kind of an impact it's going to have. Puglisi has told me that back when I talked to him late last spring, that an offer from Penn State would mean a lot to his recruitment, but it's worth noting that his recruitment was in a much different place at that point. He didn't have the big time offers yet. He hadn't gone down to Georgia and Alabama to camp and earned offers from those two SEC big dogs. So, I mean, we're going to be monitoring this one as well, but, you know, Penn State's seen him throw a bunch now. I'm not really sure if an offer would even move the needle at this point. And then beyond him, you know, Trevor Jackson, they're still working to get an official setup with him, a three-star from Florida. He's been a standout at Elite 11 regional camps, so he's another name to know. Tyler Cherry, he picked up an offer recently. I'm really not sure where he's at in terms of level of interest in Penn State, but there's a lot going on at quarterback right now, as we really just recapped. And the board is still evolving, so there's definitely the potential for even more to take place and transpire in the coming days and weeks.
Well, you mentioned Grunkmeyer going to be making that trip back to campus for the Elite 11 camp this upcoming Sunday. I'll be there. You'll be there. Daniel Gown will be there. We'll have our full crew but Ryan Puglisi also is scheduled to be there. Will Ryan Puglisi be making a visit to Penn State? I mean, it's hard to visit the State College without visiting Penn State, but that's a whole different conversation when you are committed to another school. He's, of course, committed to the reigning national champions, but they added the number one player in the country by many people's assessment at the quarterback position. So what he says in the immediate aftermath of that to Brian Doan on Monday, we'll see if that carries through entire week or if he's maybe more willing to explore some options. And as you said, Penn State still doesn't have an offer on that table. So there's a whole lot of dynamics in play at quarterback, as you did a nice job just summarizing there for us, and likely to change between now and we'll get on Sunday. There'll be some commitments made. And so we'll have a lot to talk about coming out of the Elite 11 event and into next week. We'll be sure to do that on the podcast. Tyler, let's switch gears and talk about official visits. We're creeping up towards June, and that's when the floodgate opens for these things. Every single weekend is going to be important for Penn State because they're going to have prospects and their families on campus. There's going to be camps to juggle. There's going to be 7-on-7 tournaments. But at the forefront are these official visits as Penn State builds its 2024 class. A few more confirmations coming about this as the list grows.
Yeah, a lot of movement with the June 23rd official visit weekend in the recent days. And, you know, the final weekend of June is shaping up to be a busy one for Penn State. We just confirmed Josiah Brown, who's a top wide receiver target. He's going to be on campus June 23rd. Gorby Lambert, the big offensive tackle from Catholic Memorial, Massachusetts. He's a composite top 50 guy. We have him as a top 24/7 prospect. He's going to be at Penn State for that official visit final weekend of June. Elias Rudolph, top 24/7 edge rusher, who is down in Florida right now, but he's an Ohio native. He's going to be heading back to Ohio, it looks like, for his senior season. He's got a top 5 of Penn State, Ohio State, Michigan, Pittsburgh, and Cincinnati. He's got four official visits locked in right now. Penn State's one of them. Did some asking around on him yesterday, and it looks like while Ohio State and Michigan are kind of forming his top group, I would say, Penn State's right along. They're right there with them. You know, they're closer to that top group than they are Pittsburgh and Cincinnati, who I've gathered are trailing behind those three. So Rudolph's definitely a name to keep an eye on. I, Michigan would take him right now. I believe Ohio State would as well. So we're going to see how that official visit plays out. Penn State's getting the last crack at him in June. That's always a notable thing. So, man, I mean, there's just been a ton of movement. We got Elijah Newby coming back for an official visit on June 9th. Brian Doan reported that. So he's one of the top linebacker prospects on the board at this point. It's just, you know, it's always busy this time of year. It feels like this year is even busier than usual. Just getting so many high-caliber guys on campus for throughout the month. And we're going to have more rolling in. You know, we're still working to confirm a bunch of guys who are planning on making Penn State official visits in June. So there's still a lot more to come on that front for an already loaded slate.
Yeah. I mean, we saw it last June. We've seen it in the past, but they're going to have the bases loaded going into June, and we'll just see how far they can hit the ball as a staff collectively. I mean, if it's a home run, then you're talking about the kind of month that takes the group, which is already growing into a different realm, puts it among the college football's elite. If it's not quite a home run, you maybe get a single or a double, then you've got a regroup coming out of the summer before you get into these senior seasons and you've got some holes to fill. Probably land somewhere in between those two, if we're being honest about how things shape up. But as these official visit confirmations come in, as these camps are underway across the Northeast and Mid-Atlantic, be sure to check out Lions247.com. 30% off an annual subscription, $1 for 1 month. Brian Doan had a bunch of intel from a Sunday camp down at the Under Armour in Baltimore. Tyler, let's focus in on the transfer portal to finish things off here on the podcast. Both the basketball program and the football program hosting one of those rare early week official visit situations right now. So that means it's a transfer situation. And these are ones that are unique. You're trying to get them done swiftly. What do we need to know about each of these for Penn State football, Penn State basketball?
Yeah, on the football front, I mean, on Davion Collins, Mississippi State cornerback transfer. He's, you know, made it to campus for his official visit starting yesterday. And he's a guy, he's kind of the complete opposite of Storm Duck. And, you know, you made a great comparison about this recently, how, you know, Duck was a veteran guy. This is more of the Johnny Dixon route in terms of bringing in a potential transfer with multiple years of eligibility that Terry Smith is going to get the chance to really mold and kind of, you know, leave an impression on. And I think that there are a lot of traits to like about Collins. He didn't see any playing time as a true freshman in Mississippi State, but I don't think Penn State fans should be discouraged by that by any stretch. There were plenty of reports coming out of Starkville that he was one of those guys who was flashing during fall camp. There were just people ahead of him on the depth chart. He wasn't really able to crack the two deep. I don't think that's an indictment on his development or anything like that. I think that it's just a matter of Mississippi State's cornerback room last season being more of a veteran group, and it was tougher for Collins to crack that. So I think that coming out of this official visit, we're going to have a read on where Collins is at in his process. Penn State's probably the best program that has offered him since he hit the portal. It's been a lot of group of five programs who have been involved. And he was a one-time Michigan State commit. So, you know, Penn State's already plenty familiar with him and what he has to offer. So the evaluation there is good. And the intel coming out of the official visit early has been pretty solid. So that's always encouraging. And then on the basketball front, you had the Miami big man. I butchered his name last time. I think I'm going to get it right this time. Favor Airy. I think I got it this time. I think I got it. He was on campus for an official visit late last week.
Well, a really good colleague of yours must have given you the correct pronunciation.
Yeah, man. That. Well, dude, I was literally just – I wrote it down. I made sure – I had it here in my notes. I wanted to make sure I got it right this time because last week I didn't even think I was close. It was pretty bad. But so he makes it to campus for the official visit late last week. Things went pretty well there. I heard that a decision from him could come as soon as this week. That's not set in stone. I'm not sure if it's actually going to happen, but it seems like Penn State did a pretty good job with him coming out of that official. And they addressed the off-the-ball guard need. Now it's, you know, focusing on the big man and another player with multiple years of eligibility who you could develop, kind of not necessarily in the shadows because he is going to get some minutes if he were to come to Penn State, but you could get him on a development track, and he could be a big-time player as an upperclassman. I think he has those traits. I liked him as a high school prospect, following him from afar, was kind of familiar with his game when he was down at Bishop McNamara in Washington, D.C. I liked him on the AAU circuit. So I think this is definitely an interesting exploration by the Penn State staff, and it would fill a pretty big need. You know, we're kind of getting down to the nitty-gritty of it when it comes to filling out these scholarships. I think that Penn State is, you know, they're starting to wrap things up a little bit. They're still scouring the portal for those late entries and, you know, really evaluating who could help them both immediately and down the road. But, you know, only three spots left now. You know, Penn State's staff is kind of in a position where it can be selective with the guys it wants to bring in, get on campus for visits, and determine who they want to add to this roster.
A lot cooking right now for Penn State basketball, for Penn State football, recruiting, transfer portal, roster building, et cetera. Tyler Caruso does a great job covering it all for us at Lions247.com. Tyler, thanks for hopping on the podcast with you. And hey, we'll see what we talk about next time. It's hard to anticipate these days because the news keeps breaking and games missing, and it's the nature of the beast, my friend.
It's definitely unpredictable, but I'm sure we'll have a lot to cover next time on Wimbledon. Appreciate you having me back.
All right, good stuff from Tyler Caparuso and Daniel Gallen. Catch all of their content at Lions247.com. We'll be back with another episode of this podcast later in the week. Be sure to check us out at YouTube and wherever you find your podcast, whether it's Spotify or over at Apple. We're available wherever you get your podcasts. Give us a like. Give us a subscription, and our YouTube channel as well, Lions247, trying to bump that up a little bit. Each of our episodes, if you've been listening to them for the last several years or several months, each of them available in video format as well over at our YouTube page. For now, stepping aside, I'm Tyler Donahue. We'll talk to you real soon right here on the Lions247 podcast.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.